D-E-A-T-H. What does that spell? Death, 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 death.
All right. It is emergency trifecta time, something we do not do on a regular basis. And we certainly don't do it on a regular basis at 5:15. But I don't think anybody has a problem with us doing this at 5:15 on a Friday when the death was announced a few hours back. We all knew what we had to do, and that is honor the late, the great Chuck Norris, who passed away earlier today at the age of 86 years old. Meaning when he was really, really rolling in the early 80s, he was a late bloomer when it came to stardom. He was in his 40s. I'd say that's really rare in that world. So Chuck Norris, the American karate champion, the American actor, the screen legend, the small screen legend, he did everything. Did he do it great? Absolutely not.
But he was a better karate man than an actor.
He definitely was.
But the thing that makes him different, and I guess maybe Van Damme would have something to say about it.
Yeah.
But as far as being a legitimate martial artist.
Yes.
He had the credentials. I don't know if you have the full list in front of you.
No, go ahead. I mean, I know that he was a full-on world champion.
Yeah, so he was a martial arts champion, but he was a black belt in judo, a third degree black belt in Brazilian jiu-jitsu, a fifth degree black belt in karate, an eighth degree black belt in taekwondo, a ninth degree black belt in tang sudo, and a tenth degree black belt in chung kuk do.
Yeah, chung kuk do was my favorite one.
What?
He was stationed. He was born in Oklahoma. Went into the Air Force, and his name is Carlos, by the way. Isn't that kind of weird? His real name is Carlos?
Yeah, he probably wouldn't have been as successful as Carlos Norris.
No, so his Air Force buddies nicknamed him Chuck, and he was stationed in an American base in South Korea. He noticed some guys doing martial arts at the time, and he was 19 years old and was like, man, that looks really cool. And there was a Korean style of karate called Tang Soo Do that he became infatuated with and got his start in it. And, man, it did not take long at all for him to start earning all of these belts and becoming...
Yeah, that was the ninth degree black belt.
Ninth degree of Tang Soo Do. By the time he left the Air Force in 1962, he earned his first black belt. And then he moved out to California after after his service for our country, and he continued honing his martial arts techniques. And so from 68 to 74, he was the world middleweight karate champion, meaning he had to win tournament after tournament, year after year after year. He developed his own system known as Chun Kuk, and it was called the Chuck Norris system. So he opened up all these karate schools in Southern California, and they all went bust. Now, he was training some big names. Like Bruce Lee famously trained a lot of big actors at the time. Lee Marvin was one of them. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar famously was under Bruce Lee. And Steve McQueen, though, was under Chuck Norris. And at the time, Steve McQueen, if he wasn't the biggest actor in the world, he was one of the big five. Steve McQueen was an American action hero badass actor, and he loved Chuck Norris. And he told Chuck, as his karate studios were, you know, bankrupting, he's like, look, man, if you can't do anything else in the karate world, I can promise you we can get you into movies.
By the way, did you have these other names that were his
students? No, go ahead.
Donnie and Marie Osmond.
Weird.
Priscilla Presley.
As a kid.
And the guy we talked about just yesterday, Bob Barker.
No way.
Yes.
Bob Barker was a student?
Huh.
Wow. So, obviously, well, maybe not obviously, you probably don't know this story if you're not a huge fan, but Chuck Norris's friend and fellow martial arts practitioner Bruce Lee was the one who got him into film. So Bruce Lee was just a California kid with, you know, from China that had big, big dreams and left the United States to go try and make these Chinese martial arts movies, in which he did. And the first two movies that he did over there were huge, but he wanted to have an American breakout type film. And he asked Chuck Norris, who was the reigning champion in the world in karate, and they were friends, was like, man, I've got this great idea for this climactic scene in the Roman Colosseum where I square off against someone, my equal, and I want that to be you. And the movie was called The Way of the Dragon. It was released in 1972, but it was released in the United States as Return of the Dragon. So this was before Enter the Dragon, and Enter the Dragon was Bruce Lee's opus, okay?
Is that the one with Kareem?
No, that is
Lou Alcindor at the time?
The Game of Death, I believe, is that what it was. By the way, I am a nerd.
I know.
About all this stuff. Like, I loved everything Bruce Lee did. Subsequently, I loved everything Chuck Norris did. And a lot of it's so terrible, it's almost unwatchable. But it was such an influence on my life at the time. Me and my high school friends are on a big thread, and we were talking about how much time we wasted watching Chuck Norris movies as kids and how it influenced us, not by way of, like, getting into karate, but it was just part of our pop culture, our daily general talk.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't into his straight-up martial arts movies, but I definitely watched the crap out of the Missing in Action films.
Yeah, so he agrees to do this, so this is the way he described this on Conan O'Brien's show about the way this all took place and his big fight with Bruce Lee.
Well, this brings up something. You were in one of Bruce Lee's great movies.
Return of the Dragon.
Yeah. And this is a famous, famous fight scene that you had with Bruce Lee.
I still consider it a classic.
It holds up. I watched it today. Yeah. And, you know, they've advanced fight scenes so much. Yeah. But this really holds up. It's an amazing fight scene.
Well, I think the main reason, Bruce was really ahead of his time. And I worked out with Bruce Lee, and I worked out for 3 years. That's when I held the world title. And then he went to Hong Kong to pursue his movie career, did a couple of movies, very successful. So he called me up and said, you know, I want to do a movie with a fight scene that everyone will remember called Return of the Dragon. He said, would you come over and do the fight scene with me? I said, well, do I have to lose? He says, yeah, you have to lose. So I said, all right. So I went over there, and I'd seen his first two movies. I said, you know, the guys you fight don't even have a chance. I mean, they don't even touch you, mm-hmm. you know? And he said, no, we'll make this a seesaw battle. And so we made it fight back and forth, and became a classic.
That was unusual at the time, because in that fight scene, you knock him down a few mm-hmm. times, and mm-hmm. it's pretty close, and he didn't allow that, did he?
No, I was the only one ever to really do that, you know, fighting. But again, you know, he respected me because mm-hmm. of my ability as a world champion at the time.
Mm-hmm. Did you guys ever go at it in a real situation?
No, I was a professional fighter. I fought professionally then, mm-hmm. and, Bruce was very, very good, but he never fought in the ring.
No, really?
No, he never fought in the ring.
Okay.
Big difference. You know, kicking the bag is one thing. Getting the ring and having someone kicking back at you is a whole different story.
Hey, I know. Believe me. Been around. These people don't understand what we're talking about. Yeah.
So, I don't know if you've ever seen this fight, but this is 1971 when it was filmed, and I'm telling you, it's so badass. It still holds up. Of course, it's...
Does it have the over-the-top sound effects?
Yeah, of course. It's not that bad, like where really the Hong Kong movies that kind of perpetuated that stereotype. It's not that bad, but the best part of it, it's 10 minutes long. It's a 10-minute fight, but there's like 2.5 minutes of warm-up of them like cracking their knuckles and staring at each other.
Right.
And like taking their gi off, you know, and just doing all this stuff and
trying to intimidate,
like, oh yeah, yeah, like necks cracking, and the whole time they're in the Roman Colosseum, and there's a cat, a stray cat, that is watching this, that is the only living thing watching this apparently live, and they keep flashing to the cat, you know. I mean, dude, it's so it's so hilariously ridiculous, but it's an awesome fight. And he said that in the end that Bruce Lee was like, look, I'm going to kill you, All right. But I'm going to honor you by placing your robe and your belt on you as over your dead body, like two gladiators fought, that I have such respect for you. And that launched his career. So that made Bruce Lee made Chuck Norris. And the movies that came out after that, the first one that really, really took off was The Octagon. And it was him and Lee Van Cleef. And again, he was a terrible actor.
Van Cleef?
No, Van Cleef, not Van Cleef. And obviously everything revolved around, he was the first non-Chinese karate guy. You know, for people that like
Trailblazer,
like Bob, that was obsessed with what's his name that you mentioned, Van Damme, and then what was the other douchebag's name?
Steven Seagal.
Seagal, yeah, all that stuff that came later.
Steven Seagal is such a fraud.
I know, yes, all of it is. But Chuck was the first one, the first American to do all this, and The Octagon was his first break. Then came Silent Rage, which I think I've seen 20 times, and he was like this small town sheriff, basically, that had to who fight this guy. It was local law enforcement guys, and this one dude, a prisoner, escaped, and it was revealed in the movie that the man was part of a genetic experiment that turned him into an indestructible man. And so it was Norris's character's, you know, goal to beat this guy that couldn't even be touched, basically. And it is awesome. Like, the trailer for the movie itself is one of the funniest things ever. Then he did Lone Wolf McQuade. Then he did Missing in Action, in which it was kind of a Rambo knockoff. But like you said, I was obsessed with that.
Yeah. He was going back to rescue POWs?
Yes, he was. He escaped Nam and then returned 10 years later to liberate all of his fellow soldiers. And he knew where they were. And by the way, I think it was his biggest hit. I'm pretty sure it was.
I mean, Delta Force was pretty big, too.
Yeah, Delta Force was huge. But I think that movie, it pissed off Stallone. Like, that, he was like, what are you doing here? Like, what are we, why are you ripping me off so much? But we all saw those movies. The 80s, he just kind of owned it, you know, by way of the world of karate. And then in the 90s, of course, is when his career changed completely when he started Walker, Texas Ranger. And back to the Conan front, Conan O'Brien had the most hilarious bit ever, where he would pull the Walker Texas Ranger lever, and it would spin around in a circle, and then it would land on a quote, and they would just throw it to a scene from Walker Texas Ranger. And, I mean, look, the show was terrible. None of us watched it. It was awful, but it was like old people watched it and kids watched it. Like, my grandpa watched it.
Yeah.
For God. It was so safe, and just the good guys are so good and the bad guys are so bad, and, you know, just stereotypical stuff. All of it filmed here in the DFW area. And so this was the final time that Conan, and this is where this bit originated on The Ticket, is we were all watching Conan, and Conan pulled the lever for the final time.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, as some of you may know, we here at Late Night often like to show clips from Walker, Texas Ranger. Well, folks, there is one clip from Walker, Texas Ranger that we've been holding back on. In fact, this is true. We've been afraid to show it. But it's spring cleaning, and I want to test just how good a crowd this is. So here it is. The one Walker clip we've never shown. Once you see it, you'll understand why.
And how you doing, little partner?
Fine. And it's a little visitor now. Adewoyoli's how you say it in Cherokee.
Oh, well, pardon my French, but I'll be damned.
Walker told me I had AIDS.
Conan gets up from the desk and goes back and gazes out the window of the set.
So funny, dude. And that's where that all came from. Walker told me I have AIDS.
By the way, the child actor that has AIDS, Haley Joel Osment.
Yeah, that was about 2 years before
I See Dead People.
Yeah. 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 One of the all-time classics, of course. They did that show for, I think, over a decade, the Walker, Texas Ranger, and it all, you know, it was part of the
ass-kicking karate scene, and there was a karate scene in every single show, and kicking ass with the boots and all that. And because of that, he was a local legend. He lived in the area, and he would come to local sporting events. And one morning on a Wednesday, this was back in the late 90s, I was producing the Chris Arnold Show on the Ticket. It was 10 to noon. Chris comes in, and this is when the Mavericks were terrible, just awful, and not a lot of people were watching him in the pre-Dirk era. And he comes in and he goes, "Hey, man, I just want to let you know, I screwed up last night, and I know you're going to hear about it." I'm like, "What?
Oh, no."
And what he was referring to is Chuck Norris at the game, Chris Arnold's roaming around. There had just been a trial starring, or I guess with Walker Raley,
yes,
the famed pastor in the Lake Highlands area who strangled his wife.
Yeah, he was accused of murdering his wife.
Yes. And so Walker Texas Ranger and Walker Raley were on his mind.
You never know who will show up at a Dallas Mavericks game. Walker Texas Raley's check. Texas Rangers, Texas, Chuck Norris. Got me all nervous, man. Hey, you got another TV show, too? Sons of Thunder?
Yeah, we have another television series starting here.
So, Walker Texas Raley.
Walker Texas Raley.
Chuck. I didn't
know that Chris called his own foul, so good on him for that.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Yeah, he... That's one of the all-time... Dude, I don't know of another name screw-up that's worse than that.
So good.
But Chris always owned it. He owned it 100%. It was a great moment. And so, Chuck Norris, dude, I just can't stress how much, if you grew up in that time, how big of a star he was, how cool he was. He was a Texan through and through, even though he was born in Oklahoma. Everybody thought of Chuck Norris as... our own guy,
right.
You know, and just an absolute badass. Not that great of an actor, but to parlay what he did into that career and that type of success, just a badass.
And to revisit something that we talked about maybe a week or so ago, I think even up to yesterday, he could kick my ass.
We, on Why Today Doesn't Suck, we were trying to get Dave to fight Chuck Norris if Chuck would agree to it. And we were like, at what age could you beat up Chuck Norris? And you think the day before his death,
Dave,
you still couldn't have beaten him?
No.
What about this morning?
As he is on his deathbed? And I just, excuse me, family, I just need to get a few punches in.
I just need to kick his ass real quick. Okay, thank you.
Yeah. All right, Lando?
Yeah, it's Chuck Norris.
Pete?
Yeah, of course.
Connor?
Yes, of course.
All right.
Yes, unanimous.
The great Chuck Norris. R.I.P., my friend. R.I.P.